everyone, and welcome to FPC NFL Sunday. That's right, it's week 10 in the NFL, and we are here yet again because, well, the demand to cancel us is not high enough, so we are going to keep doing this until it gets to that point. So welcome in, everyone. We are kind of, I guess, on the official second half of the season. You know, with the 17th game, it's kind of a little funky now. It's that nice math just doesn't work for us quite like it used to. But anyways, most teams are obviously have already played 8 games. We're in the middle of the bye week season, so certainly teams are going to be missing weeks. But for the most part, everyone's entering the second half of the season this week and getting ready for that march towards the playoffs. So before we get started, fellas, how are we doing today? We feeling good? It's November. It's almost American Thanksgiving, just a couple weeks away. Kyle, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's November. There's been so much news.
There's been so much news, so it doesn't feel like game week to me. So I'm kind of just going to be surprised once a game kicks off because just been a lot of news the last couple weeks. But mostly good this week, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, the NFL certainly didn't take any sort of excitement out of the week with a lack of news because, you know, Braden, you and I talked about it on Thursday, and I've obviously talked about it a lot this week, and I know Ricky's talked about it. We've all talked about it, really. I mean, it's of course, it's the Mac Jones ankle attack. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, we're talking Odell Beckham Jr. signing with the Rams, and, you know, how these things work. All of a sudden, he goes from a luxury to a necessity because we find out the day that he signs, Robert Woods goes down with a torn ACL. So, you know, we're going to start right there because obviously it's the biggest news of the week outside of some of the matchups. Odell Beckham Jr. with the Rams. I'll start with Kyle, and I just want to get your thoughts. Do you think it's going to fit? Is it going to work for OBJ, and is it going to work for the Rams?
I mean, I think it works a little better now, right? Because it seems like what he wants is he wants A to be like a number one receiver on a team. And I think part of it is, you know, part of it is selfish, but I think all part of it is also he thinks that's the best way he can help a team win. So I was a little concerned. I mean, you know, if he was going to for sure be riding second fiddle to Cooper Kupp, and even then with Robert Woods and everything, you know, he had established already with the Rams, it's going to be kind of hard pressed for Beckham to be playing ahead of those guys. But I think now, you know, he might not do so well this week, but, after barely practicing, right? I mean, like, I'm sure he'll be out there. But once he gets into the rhythm of this offense, I think he and Kupp are going to be a very dangerous 1-2 punch. And I think that will make Beckham happy, which hopefully keeps this team going. I mean, I talked about this on the Full Press Packers pod. I don't think this move puts the Rams over the top as a Super Bowl contender. I think if you think they are, you're already thinking that. And this is just, it's like a little bit of icing on top of the cake, but like Beckham isn't going to be the reason they win or don't win a Super Bowl.
What do you think, Braden?
Yeah, I guess just for Odell himself, I think it's going to be a little easier to kind of get, you know, more open looks just because of Sean McVay's ability to scheme. I think this is an offense that I think he probably made a pretty good decision in joining. I mean, out of all the choices, I think that he had, for one thing to be a top guy, I know Kupp is there and Woods was potentially going to be with them, but I think there's just certain weeks and certain games and certain moments that I think McVay goes out of his way to really force feed a lot of guys. So I think as far as Odell himself, he made a good decision with the Woods injury. I think not just Odell, but Van Jefferson is a guy to watch. He's a second year guy that's really kind of come into his own this year, guy that can win kind of more down the field. So with a big arm like Stafford, I'm kind of excited to see him now after the Woods injury, not just Odell. So a couple guys that I'm looking forward to watching there.
What do you think,
Greg? Before the Woods injury, I was just confused by the move as a whole. I know the Rams had this big FaceTime with Jalen Ramsey and like, hey, come play with us. You can have all these catches and all this stuff. And didn't we just see this with DeSean Jackson and it not work? I mean, DeSean Jackson, I think, still – has at least something left. I mean, I think Odell has something left as well, but I don't think he's this elite guy anymore. And I think the issue with the Rams right now, people act like they're this big favorite. They're not even in first place in their division. Like, they still would be the 5 seed, the season ended today, and going to Dallas, which that's a tough first-round matchup. And you look at Matthew Stafford. I'm not trying to nitpick on Matthew Stafford. I'm more nitpicking on McVay. Matthew Stafford has thrown the ball over 40 times, three times this year. They're 1-2 in those games. If I'm the Rams and I look at their schedule playing in Lambeau, playing in Baltimore in some of these cold weather games, and if I have to do that in January, they need to work on getting Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel involved more than they need to worry about getting more catches from Matt Stafford. But this basically puts Matt Stafford probably as the player with the most pressure in the postseason among anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, look, he doesn't have a playoff win yet.
Yeah,
he came here to win playoff games, right? I mean, he wants that as much as the Rams do. Because, I mean, they've won playoff games without him. So, yeah, he definitely has the most pressure to justify them trading for him.
Well, and someone, I can't remember which outlet put out the question, who's stopping this offense? It was probably Pro Football Focus. That seems like something they do. You know, with the graphic of OBJ up there. And my response was a boneheaded interception by Matt Stafford in crunch time. Because regardless of who you get out there, it doesn't necessarily change who Matt Stafford is. I think he's a really, really good quarterback who's prone to some just kind of boneheaded mistakes because, you know, let's not pretend like he hasn't had talent around him in Detroit. I understand Detroit's organization. It's not the ideal situation for anyone, let alone a quarterback. But he's had, I mean, we just saw a guy get in with a shortened career in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. That he got to play with Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. He's had guys like Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, so on and so forth. So, you know, there is a lot of pressure on Matt Stafford. And this is only going to put more of a focus on it. And look, he's coming off a really bad game against the Tennessee Titans. And we're going to talk about them in a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him. And I don't necessarily know if he can handle it. Now, to Ricky's point, I'm curious, and maybe they've answered this question and I just missed it. I'm curious as to know if they knew about the injury when they made the move or it just happened coincidentally. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the injury to Robert Woods, they sort of got an idea and they were like, oh, you know what? Let's put a little extra effort into, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. But I kind of think that that's not the case. I think that they were going into it planning to have him, Kupp, and Woods, and it just so happened. Because I'm pretty sure they didn't know about the injury right away. It kind of took a little bit of time after practice. So that is something I'd be curious to know.
It sounds like they found out about the injury yesterday, honestly. Like, it seems like he went down Friday practice, went home without knowing, and then came in Saturday and got evaluated. That's kind of what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. But also, he was questionable last game. I remember, like, it was a Sunday night game, and, like, he was kind of a game-time decision, right? So he's already kind of been dealing with injuries anyway, so it's not as if this injury is that, like, they're smart enough to know that, you know, football's tough, people are going to get injured. So knowing that Woods was already hurt, they were probably looking at it there, not realizing like the true severity need for it until it seems like after they made the trade. So happy coincidence for them. I mean, not so happy for Robert Woods, obviously.
Yeah. But,
like, at least the silver lining is that they now, you know, have a pretty competent wide receiver coming in to replace him.
Yeah, assuming he's healthy. You know, that's the thing, too.
Well, the shoulder. Right?
Lost in all of this is the health of Odell Beckham Jr., because that's the reason why he missed so many games last year and, you know, missed some to start this season. Or he missed one or two, right? I don't know. Either way, his health is a question. So it kind of seems like we're all kind of on the same wavelength when it comes to what the Rams are right now. Because I put this poll up on our at Full Press NFL account on Twitter. And it was basically asking the question, will the Rams win Super Bowl 56? The options being yes, no, they will lose in Super Bowl 56, or no, they will lose before. And as you see, I took this screen grab from my own personal account. So I voted, as did 78.1% of everyone else who voted. The poll is still up, by the way, so if you want to participate, feel free to hop in there and check it out. It's pinned right at the top of the profile. While you're at it, give it a follow if you haven't already. But I chose no, they will lose before Super Bowl 56 because, well, you know, my Super Bowl pick from the NFC is the Buccaneers, so you can't have two NFC teams going to the Super Bowl. And as of right now, even with how banged up the Buccaneers are, if they're going to meet in the playoffs, to Kyle's point, and kind of like, are you going to trust Matt Stafford in the cold? Are you going to trust this offense when the you know, maybe the temperature hits really freezing temperatures in Green Bay if they have to go to Green Bay? I mean, they'd be fortunate to go to Tampa just for the warmth, but I give the edge to Tampa in a rematch. It just based on the history Tom Brady's had and you know, where I think this offense will be, I think it'll be far healthier than it is right now. So, and that's, you know, far more than what it was against the Rams earlier this season. So, I don't know. I mean, again, I look at this team as a probably a divisional round exit, to be honest with you. Agree or disagree?
If that. If they make it through wild card, I
think there's a chance that, you know, this is one of those moves that I think looks in probably is better for the regular season. You know what I mean? Like they could win some games, and I think you're going to be like, oh, this team is this team is that. I had their schedule up here just a second ago. I know they got a mix of some pretty tough games, but some pretty easy games as well. So maybe they run the table and maybe they earn that top seed. It's still not going to change anything because I think at the end of the day, it's just going to be too hard for them to string together consistent wins over some pretty good teams in the NFC. So, but yeah, anyways, go ahead.
Well, to what you just said, but also to Keeler's credit, talk about like tough matchups in the NFC. Like even if they win the division, it could be a tough matchup too.
Yeah.
So that's one where even if they like, you know, the injuries the Cardinals are dealing with, frankly, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC West, but it's so tough to win that division, right? They might not, but they might get the furthest of that division. Like if they face the Cardinals in the playoffs and it happened to be in Arizona, I still think I'd take the Rams there. As much as we can criticize Sean McVay, I think at least, you know, he's a capable coach of getting Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. Like at least that credit there. Whereas I don't think Kingsbury has that kind of cachet. Like if you know, they're head to head, I kind of think McVay will outcoach him and win a playoff game. So that would be one where, even if it like they have to go to Arizona, I think the Rams would be happy there, at least more happy than with some other teams. Like you're saying, if they have to travel to Dallas, travel to Green Bay, even if it was early January, that'd be not great for them.
What do you think, Ricky?
I wouldn't have a problem with them necessarily traveling to Dallas, but I think honestly people are sleeping on the Cardinals. I mean, I know it's the Niners. I know it's Kyle Shanahan and their issues this year, but to win that game on the road without Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds gets banged up without DeAndre Hopkins, and essentially dominate that game. And you look at that first matchup, Arizona just dominated the Rams on the ground, and they have that kind of blueprint. If Edmonds gets healthy, and James Conner's been one of the best signings of the offseason with 10 touchdowns. I mean, really, Kingsbury against McVay in a playoff game, they're not that much different. I mean, if there's a call that goes the Saints' way of the NFC Championship, we're talking about McVay the way we're talking about Kingsbury right now. So if that game is in Arizona, that December 13th game is huge. It's a Monday night game in Arizona. But, I mean, look at the Cardinals schedule. You just talk about the Rams. They do have two at Seattle, which is a little bit tricky, especially looking at the Seahawks now. They do have the Colts, but they get them at home. And their toughest road game is probably Dallas. So there is a chance that Arizona could get that one. And if Arizona gets that one, it's not going to be easy for the Rams to go on the road and potentially maybe play in Dallas, in Tampa, or in Arizona, in all these to win three road games. I'm not sure if this Rams offense can do that. I think they need to be in their comfort of SoFi Stadium.
Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about the moves and everything, you look at the team, you know, all the memes of F them picks with less need. You know, in a team sport like this, talent can only take you so far. What happens, you know, if more injuries, you know, not necessarily as severe, but, you know, more guys like Woods go down, you're talking about a stars and scrubs team that in a team sport in January, you talk about either going into a cold environment or, you know, facing just as potent of an offense. I think that's going to be something that is really going to be something to monitor, you know, in a playoff game when you're talking about this team's kind of future outlook and the pressure you guys mentioned on Matthew Stafford. There's only so many years you have with him and to kind of go out and make moves that are, you know, kind of more reactive than anything. That's something that's going to be interesting to look back on.
And to that point, go ahead, real
quick. I was just going to give you credit, Ian, so you'll like
okay,
this.
Great. No, yeah, take your
before
time.
Before I forget, I mean, you called it with Beckham going to the Rams, right? I said they'd be too arrogant to do it. You said they're so arrogant that they'd have to do it because they're so arrogant, and you got it right. So good job.
Well, to my discredit, I did list six teams, and that was one of the six. So I kind of, you know, really rode the fence there. But no, and to me, it was always kind of like, you know what, they're already all in. I mean, they have no choice. I mean, this to me is a, you know, I know people are praising the team building already. I'm like, hold on a minute. Hold on. Wait until they win a Super Bowl before you praise this team building, because if they don't win a Super Bowl, to me, it's all for naught. And it's a failure, because now all of a sudden those F those picks, as Braden says, well, picks will F them when they don't have them and they need a team to, you know, compete again, because all these guys are obviously either too expensive or getting older or whatnot. So, and you know, when you look at it, you know, just for sake of an example and the fact that they are the defending Super Bowl champions, and any chance I get to mention Tom Brady is always good. Stack the Rams up against the Buccaneers right now. Assume the Buccaneers are healthy. I got to assume that Antonio Brown's going to be back soon. He's been trending that way. Gronk is a bit more of a question mark, but, you know, quarterback, I think you obviously give the edge to the Buccaneers. Coaching, again, I like Sean McVay. I think Bruce Arians, he's hot and cold sometimes. He's a terrible clock manager sometimes, an in-game manager. But sometimes Sean McVay does some questionable things. I'll still give the edge to the Rams, but, you know, again, I don't think this is a knockdown, drag-out, you know, win for Sean McVay. Offensive weapons, healthy, a wash. I mean, Cooper Kupp, may be the best out of all of them, but you got Mike Evans, you got, you know, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, again, the Rams aren't this team that are just, you know, has this advantage over everyone else. And again, at the most important position, they still aren't the best. And it's not just Tom Brady that he's, you know, I'd probably take Kyler Murray over Matt Stafford. You know, and that's a huge advantage,
well,
in my opinion.
To be fair, in our Packers preseason episode of ranking the quarterbacks the Packers would play, we did rank, Jesse and I both ranked Murray ahead of Stafford. So, yeah, I think we'd say that, too.
All right, there we go then. See, we're doing pretty good. We're agreeing with things today, Kyle.
I think the only – I'm just kind of going through the team in my head. I think the only position group where the Rams have an edge is probably in the secondary.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's like – because that's like the Bucs' biggest weak spot, but it's also a good strength for the Rams. Run defense, it's clearly the Bucs. I mean, they're probably the best in the league at it. And the Rams actually kind of struggle with run defense. Pass rush, you might say the Rams now, especially with Von Miller, if he can get healthy. Offensive weapons, I like your point of – I don't even know if Kupp is the best receiver out of them. He might be, but he might not be.
Yeah, that was a, is he? You know,
if you're saying everyone's fully healthy, including Cam Akers, that might be enough to kind of equal it, maybe tilt it. But I think I'd still say the Bucks, though, probably, like, especially right now, like not fully healthy. So we can't count Akers, can't count Woods. I think I'd take the Bucks again, assuming they at least get Godwin back if he doesn't play today. I'm not sure if we know that yet.
Once
those guys get healthy, it should be better.
Even to your point, you know, the best unit, unit the Rams have, the secondary, you know, how big of an advantage is that really? Because at the end of the day, are you taking a great secondary or a great offense? I'm going to take a great offense. You know, that's just how the game is. And that's
the greatest quarterback ever. Yeah.
In this case, a guy who's clearly, it doesn't matter how good the defense is. And luckily for him, he gets the worst pass defense in the league today to come off that bye, which is going to be pretty nice. But
I was going to say, ask the 2014 Seahawks how their great defense.
Yeah,
did against
exactly.
So, pretty well, to be fair, but it still wasn't enough.
Well, and look, I'm not saying that it's not important. It's certainly important to have that. But, you know, when push comes to shove, or am I going to take it again, a great offense? And in this case, led by Tom Brady, or a great secondary? Well, give me the great offense every single day. So, anyways, we gotta move on, because we could spend all day on that, and we really don't have all day. Some of the other news that came out this week, somewhat surprisingly, is that Mr. Cam Newton is back with the Carolina Panthers, and it couldn't have come soon enough, because obviously Darnold is out. They're going to be starting, presumably, P.J. Walker today, and Cam will get his first start next week, in a coincidence or not, against Ron Rivera and the Washington football team. However, we're not necessarily going to talk just about Cam Newton and the Panthers. I want to compare and contrast this to another team that is getting a quarterback, not for back from another team, but back from injury, and that's Seahawks and Russell Wilson, who right now are sitting at 3-5, and the Carolina Panthers are at 4-5 in this pretty wild NFC South. So I'll throw it to you guys, and I'll start with Kyle, and we'll go clockwise, Braden to Ricky. who has a better shot at the playoffs right now? The Panthers with Cam Newton or the Seahawks with Russell Wilson? And it's not necessarily about just the quarterbacks, obviously, but I think it is a, you know, obviously a big talking point. So, Kyle, you have the floor.
Yeah, part of it is you do look at those teams. You start with the quarterbacks, and as good as Cam is, I think it's no comparison. Russell Wilson's by far the better quarterback. But and I think the thing is, like, when Cam was getting the
take into account the injury too. That's one disadvantage.
Do we know Cam's healthy?
I think so. There's no reason.
Shoulder. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. No,
to be fair, you're right. It's probably closer. He also hasn't played football in what 10 months in an NFL game.
He was in training camp and right before the training camp started. Okay.
Hasn't played a game in 11 months.
He played a lot in the preseason. He played a hand.
All right, whatever. He was on the field. Maybe it's closer than I'm giving it credit for. I'm sorry, Cam. But okay, the truth is, when Cam was getting the Panthers to the playoffs, they were the best team in that division. Like there was the year they made it with a losing record, right? And like, you know, to their credit, they did what they needed to. The reason that those Saints and Falcons had losing records is because they got swept by the Panthers. So like, you know, they did what they needed to. But I think they're clearly not, like, even with Cam back, that's not going to make them the best team in the division. I mean, they may be better than the Saints, but they're definitely not better than the Bucks. So I think it's tougher there. The one thing, like, the Seahawks really haven't been a good team for maybe about a half decade, and yet Russell Wilson has still been getting the teams to playoffs. Granted, fully healthy, this is the first injury of his career, so how will he come back from that? Not sure. But I like his chances to get this team to the playoffs, just because, like, okay, we've talked about it before. Like, the top five teams in the NFC seem locked in. You get two playoff spots at the end. No one else really grabbing it. The Vikings might actually be the best team, yet they just keep losing and losing games that they feel like they should win. So, like, they're not winning enough to really maybe get that spot. So I think the Seahawks will make it. So I'm gonna say the Seahawks. Sorry if that took too long to talk about.
No, I had my mic muted. I was saying, no, that was a great answer. Sorry. Go ahead, Braden.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the Seahawks, just because I think for Russ himself, I think you're looking at a guy that, you know, never missed a game. He's going to kind of come back on a vengeance. So I think just him alone, you take into account what Kyle said of just how bad the Seahawks have been, and he's still gotten them, you know, into the division round or even close to the NFC championship game. I just think the Panthers right now, there might be too much turmoil kind of looking ahead to their future rather than, you know, focusing on the playoffs this season. Matt Rhule is a great program builder, but I think just with this whole quarterback situation and, you know, I think there's a lot of different opinions in that building about how they're going to go about it. So given how much they already gave up for Darnold and kind of already locked in that figure for his fifth year option, I think there's going to be a lot of changes. And I think a lot of players quit on Carolina, so to speak, still before we reach the playoffs. So I think Seattle just from Russ alone and their kind of pedigree of getting back to the playoffs with a bad team, I got to go with the Seahawks.
I would agree with both Kyle and Braden, but I'll play devil's advocate and I'll go Carolina for the sake of this. Just from the standpoint of Seattle's going to get Russ Wilson back, but like you said, Ian, with his injury, I don't really know what he's going to be, especially since he's back way earlier than people thought. They still don't have Chris Carson back yet, although that should be soon. But really, the issue is Seattle's defense is terrible. And they still have to play Arizona twice, still have to play the Rams. The schedule's okay after that, but that's a lot to ask a team to win any of those three. Maybe they split with Arizona. You look at Carolina, they got, if they pass, they Washington, Miami, Atlanta, they could win those three games. And their defense is still good. I think you and I, Ian, both saw last week against the Patriots. If they had a quarterback that could at least throw the football, at least not turn it over, they could have been in that game more often than they would have been. So there is some talent there. I'm just concerned, at least from Carolina's side, that I saw Adam Schefter say today Cam could be competing for the starting quarterback job next year. Carolina reminds me kind of the Washington football team right now. They don't have a quarterback. They're stuck in no man's land. Right now they'd be picking 13th or 14th in a weak quarterback class. It sounds like they're now 2 years away from really finding that guy. And in all honesty, with the Panthers, I'm just shocked PJ Walker doesn't get more of a shot. Maybe they know him more about that, know him more in that room than we do. But he's got talent. I mean, he should have honestly been starting last week. So I don't know really why they didn't go to Walker first before looking at Cam when that could have happened a couple weeks down the road.
Yeah, and I just threw up. I should have actually done this before, but I just threw up the division standings. I kind of dropped the ball on that one. It would have been a perfect graphic to take focus away from our faces. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence a little bit, and I actually almost I you know, play devil's advocate, I guess, a little bit myself, and go with Ricky and say it's Carolina, and it's not so much because of, you know, I'm thinking that Cam's going to perform better than Russ. I just think that, given their remaining schedules, given just where I think the overall team is, I think Carolina has a better shot. Now, again, that's going to take them having to win some games down the stretch. I mean, both these teams are going to have to, because their backs are up against the wall. Seattle's third in their division. Obviously, Carolina's last. And, you know, Atlanta's been playing some pretty good football. So not only that, they have to, you know, leapfrog Atlanta, but they have to overcome New Orleans. At the end of the day, I mean, it's a long shot, I think, for both of these teams, because I don't think, even with their quarterback position improving, and I think it improves in both situations, obviously getting Russell Wilson back. And I do think, from what we've seen from Sam Darnold, Cam Newton's going to be an upgrade over him. I whether or not that's because he runs the ball better or not, I just think Sam Darnold is who Sam Darnold is. I think we've figured that out at this point. It's just going to be hard because I don't think these teams are good enough, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, if I'm going to pick a team, I'll roll the dice and say Carolina. But at the end of the day, I just don't think either of them are going to ultimately get there, because they're just, again, I mean, Seattle's defense is terrible. If it wasn't for Kansas City and the fact that they're in the playoff race, we'd be talking more about Seattle's horrific defense. They've kind of gotten a pass because, well, Russell Wilson isn't there right now, and they're not really in contention for the playoffs. Now, if they're in contention for the playoffs and Russell Wilson comes back and keeps them in games, all of a sudden that's going to become more of a factor. But right now, I think
Panthers' defense is great.
What's that?
Yeah, Panthers' defense is great, exactly, by comparison.
Exactly. So, and I think it's only going to get better with Stephon Gilmore. I mean, he's played 2 games, 2 interceptions. He's a type of guy who can really, you know, maybe not necessarily Revis Island-like. He's a guy who can take away a lot of the field and really make it easier for the Panthers' defense, who has a lot of talent. And look, you combine Russell Wilson, Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, a healthy Christian McCaffrey, that's a pretty nice combination and could really turn them into a pretty potent running team. So
quarterback might be the only position where there's an edge, really, for the Seahawks. Like, I'm going through it. Like, I guess, like, maybe inside linebacker, that might be like the only spot where you're more confident in the Seahawks than the Panthers, really, at any spot other than quarterback, mm-hmm. I think.
No, and that's the fascinating thing, because at first glance you think, oh, of course it's the Seahawks, but then, you know, you kind of have to think a little bit about it and give it, you know, perhaps the Panthers could do it. So anyways, before we get to our pickup props, because we love doing those every week and we got a bunch of them this week. Last topic, the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, we already know Derrick Henry is done for the season. Star wide receiver, and I use that term loosely if you've seen him play this season. Star wide receiver Julio Jones is now on injured reserve for the next 3 weeks at least with an injury. He comes into the season with, I think 20-something catches for 300 and change and no touchdowns. So perhaps the Falcons knew a little bit more than we give him credit for when they were looking to get rid of him, but he hasn't had the impact on this Titans team that we had expected coming in. So now with that, knowing that and moving forward, no Julio Jones, no Derrick Henry, the Titans are coming off a pretty impressive win against the Rams. Again, you know, I picked the Rams last week to win that game. I was pretty wrong about that. I'm going to ask you, and we'll do the same thing. I'll start with Kyle and work our way around clockwise. Was that a mirage? What do we expect out of this Titans team moving forward? Are they actually good, or is this going to kind of come back to bite them that they don't have Henry and even a limited Julio Jones in this offense?
You know, you look at a team, like, who leads a team? It's the quarterback and the coach. Mm-hmm. I think they might have a top 10 quarterback and a top 10 coach in the NFL. That might, I think, in their division, that should be enough to win the division. So I think playoffs are definitely happening for them, or at least I would guess they're probably going to happen. That'd be my look at it now. But, like, I think Tannehill's good enough to keep them in contention for the first round bye, just because, like, you know, Lamar Jackson a couple nights ago looked pretty bad. Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen last week, Mahomes has had his struggles. Justin Herbert's had up and down games. Like, no team in the AFC is really taking hold and saying we're going to be consistent and dominant every game. I mean, the Titans have looked awful as well. The Jets beat them. Like, what is that? But I think they're good enough. So I'm going to say no to the Mirage.
Oh man, I don't know. I sometimes, like with Vrabel, I think he does some of the dumbest things, but then he does some of the smartest things. So with him, it's like, I think his formula works really well. I think for me, it's maybe the depth on this team that makes me think it's a mirage. Definitely, I think Tannehill can continue to be good, but I think there's a lot. If you look at this, you know, one more top guy getting hurt offensively. If it's AJ Brown or if it's somebody like one of the other offensive linemen, I think it quickly goes downhill. So definitely the AFC, to Kyle's point, it's a mess right now. I don't really know who I would favor out of all the AFC teams, but I would kind of slightly lead to it being a mirage right now.
Yeah, I don't think you could rank the AFC. Like, if we had an AFC playoff committee and tried to put together our top 12, like, I don't think everybody's top 12 would be completely different because everybody has a loss that disqualifies themselves. But even to the Titans loss, I mean, to take the Jets to overtime without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, I mean, compared to Buffalo losing to Jacksonville, like, is that horrible of a loss? Not necessarily. And, I mean, look at Tennessee's schedule down the stretch. They have 5 of their last 8 at home. They have 2 with the Texans. So there's 2 wins right there. If Jacksonville still, they have the Niners at home. They have Miami. I mean, this schedule sets up perfectly for the Titans, and their defense won't be starting to come together. 5 sacks against Matt Stafford last week. I think that's more important than what their run game looks like. They get that bye. Maybe Derrick Henry comes back for a limited role in the postseason, at least does something. It's hard to trust them still because they can still come up with a weird kind of football game where they don't look like themselves, and maybe it takes a while for Peterson, McNichols to get going. But really, when you think about it, the North is going to knock each other out. Buffalo and New England still have to play each other twice in the East. The West is going to knock each other around. I mean, Tennessee's probably the one seed by default. You won't trust them, but it's probably going to be going through Nashville in the AFC unless something crazy happens.
Now, I'm not going to...
It's almost...
Go ahead.
Just what Keeler was just saying, it just made me think of something. Is this the Eagles in 2017, right? Where they lose their quarterback. They're in the AFC, NFC East. So it's like, okay, they're going to win. Like, they got the number one seed anyway in the bad division. And everyone was just counting them out every step of the way. Oh, the first number one seed to ever be home underdogs in their playoff opener, right? Against the Falcons. And then they beat them. And they just kept winning, even though everyone thought, oh, they're done for because they've lost these key pieces. I wonder if the Titans could be that. And I think, I don't know that the offensive line is as good as the Eagles had that year. And I don't think the defense is quite to that level too, but that's just kind of the vibe I'm getting. Just what Keeler was saying right there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on the matchup too, because I mean, all this AFC playoffs is matchup based. I mean, think about it. If one of these lower seeds win, and let's play it out. So you have Ravens, Patriots, Chargers, Steelers, Bills, Raiders, right? I think, and we'll see, cause Ben's not playing today due to COVID. But Pittsburgh is kind of a scary team right now. When you think about that, if they ran into Pittsburgh's defense in the first round with Najee Harris and just kind of controlling the clock, I mean, I don't know if I'd necessarily say Tennessee is a huge favorite in that game either. I don't think huge favorite and the AFC go together. It's just a matter of which team do I think can't really blow it. And Baltimore you can game plan for. The Chargers you can game plan for. Buffalo we saw last week you can kind of game plan for. And they haven't taken advantage of their soft schedule by any means. It's kind of just which team has less flaws. And I think Tennessee kind of has fewer flaws than everybody else outside of maybe their secondary.
Yeah. And look, I was going to say before too,
I just have a question about like what I was saying about Tannehill being a top 10 quarterback. I'm surprised no one gave pushback on that. So like, is that kind of something?
Well, let's play it out. I mean,
sorry if I'm delayed.
Oh, are you? Yeah. I was wondering why that was, that was a little off there. I was like, okay. But, top 10 quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. Thank you.
Russell
Wilson. I don't know if he's...
Josh Allen, Kyler Murray.
Well,
I'm coming down to Stafford, Cousins, and Tannehill, right? Like, two of those guys are probably top 10 and one isn't. So it's kind of between those three, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah. So I mean, look, I don't know if he's, I think if you made the argument that he's a top 10 quarterback, I'm not going to push back because his stat line certainly supports it, especially if you consider, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes, a top 10 quarterback, because their stat lines are eerily similar over the last few years. Obviously there's more to quarterback play than just the stat line, but that certainly puts him certainly right in the conversation for sure. So that's something interesting. Maybe we can, you know what? I'll tell you what, we're going to find that out now. Because more of it's going to be on him now. I know Adrian Peterson's there, but, you know, it's not Derrick Henry. Julio Jones is gone. So the pressure really falls on Ryan Tannehill, and we're going to have to figure out whether or not he's up for it. So, all right, let's get to our props, because then we're going to have to obviously make our game picks and everything like that, and we want to do that. So a lot of fun ones today because, of course, there's a lot of interesting storylines, as we've already covered for the most part, and we're going to start with one right off the bat. The Rams don't play till Monday, unfortunately, so we're going to have to wait for that Odell Beckham Jr. debut. But does he catch a touchdown pass in his first game with the Rams? And we'll start with you, Kyle, and just work our way down.
No, and it's not so much Beckham. I know my goal line guide every week. The Rams' passing grade is one of the lowest this week. The 49ers have actually been vulnerable as a run defense near the goal line. So this is one where if the Rams get close, I see it being a lot of Darrell Henderson rushing touchdowns. So I could maybe see Stafford get one touchdown in this game. So I don't think it's going to be to Beckham if that's the case. Everything's going to go to Cup, right?
Ricky?
I'm going to say yes. I think McVay makes it a point to get the ball to Beckham. He seems like that kind of coach. It's like, see, I got him. I'm going to give him a limited play sheet, including putting him on a punt return, and he's still going to get a touchdown because that's how good a coach I am. So yes.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, especially with Woods being out. I totally agree with that. So I think you look at kind of like maybe a goal line fade or you know, quick – a whip route kind of around the goal line, something like that. So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. It's that arrogance of the Rams and the offense and the, you know, hey, we can do whatever we want. This is the right move and we're going to show you. So yeah, I would definitely pick definitely on this one. All right. Teddy Bridgewater, Jalen Hurts, who has more passing yards in week 10? Oh, God. And hey, Kyle, I was going to say, do me a favor. How about you hop out and then hop back in, because there is a little bit of a delay, and then by the time you get back in, we'll have you answer it. So, Ricky, I'll start with you. Teddy Bridgewater or Jalen Hurts?
Give me Teddy Bridgewater. I think Denver's just got more weapons. Judy's now back in the last couple weeks. Sutton, Noah Fant's going to be back this week. Tim Patrick can catch one down the field. Denver was very impressive last week. And quite frankly, Jalen Hurts, and they're not running the football. You're not seeing huge amount of yards, even though Kyle could mention he's number two in fantasy, which is just weird. but still, in terms of who I trust more in this game, it's actually Teddy Bridgewater, believe it or not.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a little bit of Bridgewater himself that's trying really hard to still kind of keep this job going into next year when there's a lot of uncertainty. So I think you kind of combine that and just with Jalen right now, kind of using his legs. More often than not, I think I got to go with Bridgewater.
Welcome back, Kyle. How's this sound?
I think it's good. I guess it's about how I sound.
It's much better. Much better. So perfect timing, though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say Bridgewater. I think if it was total yards, I'd go with Hurts because of the rushing ability. But I think the Denver defense is probably a bit better than the Eagles. And so I think Bridgewater's going to have an easier time passing than Hurts will.
All right, so next we have, that's the next one. Baker or Mac, we have a battle of two first-round quarterbacks in New England between the and a very big game in the AFC. We didn't get a chance to really talk about this, but it's a really big game playoff-wise. Who has, and this is right up your alley, Kyle, so you're going to have to go last, though, because you lost your number one spot by being choppy on the connection. Who has more fantasy
points? I got chopped.
Yeah, you got chopped. You got cut. You're down to the third ranking. Who has more fantasy yards or fantasy points this game? Ricky, is it Baker or Mac Jones?
It's going to be weird as the Patriots guy to say this, but I'm going to go Baker Mayfield. And the reason I do that here is because I think you look at this Browns offense and Baker is going to get the ball downfield, whether it's to Peoples-Jones or Landry. I think their offense is more designed to take more downfield shots. You saw New England against Carolina last week. I know no Damian Harris today, but they're still going to be a reliance on Ramondre Stevenson, a reliance on Brandon Bolden, and a reliance on the short passing game using both those running backs. So because Mac Jones doesn't really throw the ball downfield by design, I think I like New England's offense better in this game, but in terms of fantasy, I think Baker's the better play just because there's a better deep shot chance.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's, I don't know. I think there's just a lot in this game where really Baker's going to have to do a lot on his own. Tough defense to go against, maybe kind of a low scoring game. And I think he's going to have to be, you know, kind of trusted to hit some of those deep shots that Ricky mentioned. And you talk about, you know, Odell leaving town now, Chubb and Hunt still out. So I think there's going to be a lot placed on Baker's shoulders where New England can kind of rely more on kind of mixing the ball around and leaning on that run game. So I'm going to go with Baker.
Keeler, to your credit, I think, you know, as a Patriots fan, you should probably want Baker to outscore Mac Jones fantasy-wise because that would be the idea of the Patriots are winning and the Browns are forced to throw more. So, like, you know, in a win – Mac Jones is probably less likely to score points than Baker is if the Patriots wins and the Browns lose, right? So as a Patriots fan, you actually probably should hope for that because I think both of these are like super low floor quarterbacks. If they're not scoring touchdowns, they're not really contributing much fantasy wise. So it's about who gets the touchdowns. No Nick Chubb means the Browns are probably going to have to throw it through the air. Even without Damian Harris, I think the Patriots, like you said, have more faith in Ramondre Stevenson if they get close to the goal line running in those touchdowns than going with Mac Jones against that Browns pass rush and defense, which is pretty formidable. So I think, I think it's Baker as well.
Oh, there we go. All right, next we have Judy versus Smith. Which Bama wide receiver has more receiving yards in Week 10? We'll start with you, Ricky.
I'm going to go with Devontae Smith, largely because I think maybe garbage time gets him some yards because I think Teddy Bridgewater's done a good job of balancing it out with those guys like I mentioned earlier. I think there's more of a reliance on Smith than there is a reliance on Judy. So I'll go Smith.
I'm also going to go with Smith, kind of piggybacking off what we just said with Baker. I think the Eagles might have to throw it more. Broncos more willing to run it with Javonte and Melvin Gordon. So Smith's been kind of connected more on deep shots with Hurts lately. So I got to go with Smith.
Part of me wants to almost go to, okay, I said, you know, Bridgewater more passing yards, so go with Judy on that. I guess what we've seen with Smith is, like, you know, two games so far this year of 100 yards, right? Judy hasn't done that yet, but we've also seen some games. Like, it's funny, you know, the last 2 weeks for Devontae Smith are a microcosm of his season, right? 15 yards against the Lions and then 116 yards against the Chargers, whereas I think Judy's going to be more consistent. So it's about, do the Broncos kind of allow it? I don't think they do, so I will say Jerry Judy.
All right, next we have McCaffrey versus, we already brought up James Conner earlier in the show, 10 touchdowns, but who has the more total yards in this matchup?
Give me James Conner, largely because I know Christian McCaffrey got the touches last week against the Patriots, but he didn't really exactly have that explosive big play, and maybe that changes today. But right now you're seeing James Conner get it done both with in the passing game, in the ground game, and he's going to get the lion's share of the carries with Chase Edmonds out today. So I'm going to go with James Conner.
I'm also going to go with Conner, not just because Edmonds is out, but right now this Arizona defense, I mean, it doesn't really matter who they play, toughest matchup or not. I mean, they're not giving up much on the ground. So I think that kind of continues today with their defensive front playing as well as they are. So I got to go with Conner.
You know, again, looking at, you know, Conner coming off certainly a season best performance, what he had 160 total yards. Yeah, 163 total yards. That's crazy. But can he replicate that, right? Is that going to be the norm? The last minute last minute inactives of Hopkins and Murray, which to be fair could happen again today, kind of set that up. But I think McCaffrey, like you said, Keely, he didn't look that great. It didn't seem impressive, and he still got 100 yards kind of out of nowhere. Right. So I think if a week back, even though it's a really tough defense against the Cardinals, I'm going to say McCaffrey because I think he just can provide that. Whereas I think, not to say Connor's a fluke, but I think I don't think he's going to repeat what he did last week. He might get 2 touchdowns. He's been doing that all year, but I don't think the yards will be there.
All right. Next, two former first overall picks in the NFL draft. You have Carson Wentz and Trevor Lawrence. Who has more passing yards in week 10?
I'm going to go Carson Wentz. I think Trevor Lawrence, I know he finished the game last week, but you have to wonder how much the ankle is a big deal. And the one thing you've seen with Carson Wentz, he's been more efficient over the last few weeks. He's getting the ball down the field. T.Y. Hilton's going to play today, so that should help him at least in that aspect with Pittman. Right now it's just safe to say you trust Wentz more than you trust Lawrence. So Indy needs the game, so give me Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really add much to that. Lawrence is missing some throws right now. Guys are dropping passes all over the place around him. And Wentz, like you said, Ricky, has just been efficient. So pretty easy one for me. I got to go Carson Wentz.
I'll be honest, this one's probably the toughest one for me. The last one was pretty tough too, but part of me wants to actually say Lawrence because, you know, he's been more consistently putting up, well, more consistent. He's had 200-300-yard games this year. Technically, Wentz has zero. He has a 400-yard game, but he has nothing in 300s. Like, it's the yards are kind of up and down. And thinking that, okay, the Colts are heavy favorites. They're going to run the ball more. It's going to force the Jags to pass more. Part of me thinks Lawrence will get it because of that just sheer volume, not so much efficiency. But correct me if I'm wrong. Carson Wentz, I think his wife is due to give birth this week.
I believe so, yeah. But I'm pretty sure he's already said he's going to be at the game.
But now I wonder, Narrative Street, especially if she gives birth right before, this is daughter's first game alive. Like, this is his first game with his daughter alive. Does he just go out and have, like, the best game of his season? So I think I'll agree with Keeler and Braden and say Wentz.
And the Colt defense has also had 10 days to shake off, allowing 3 touchdowns in the second half to Josh Johnson. You've got to think they're going to be better today.
Well, going back to Monday Night Football in our first one and back to Odell Beckham Jr., we have OBJ versus Cooper Kupp. Who has more targets in OBJ's debut? Is it going to be the newcomer, the leading receiver, or is it going to be a push? Ricky, what say you?
We could go with Ian's theory and Rams' arrogance, but, I mean, look, come on. Every time we look up at the Rams game, Cooper Kupp is usually catching a pass or is getting the target. It's Cooper Kupp. It's not close.
Yeah, Kupp, I don't know if OBJ is going to be maybe, you know, utilized enough either way. I think it's pretty easy for me too.
Just Kupp. Because it's a Monday game, it gives one more opportunity for Beckham to have breakfast with Stafford. It seems like that's the key. I don't know if he's going to do that. Even so, Kupp will still be there anyway, so it's going to be Kupp.
Yeah, and I agree. It's going to be Kupp. But it's going to be fascinating. I do think that they do force feed Odell Beckham Jr. some try to get him in the end zone. So I do think he ends up in the end zone at some point. I just ultimately think that Cooper Kupp, it's just how can you not imagine him just racking up yards like he does every single week. So that was our last prop. Of course, there's no longer any of them on the screen, which means, guys, it's time for our picks. And we're going to set a record today, guys. We're going to rapid fire through these things here. We got a bunch of games to do, and we're going to get through them pretty quickly, and we're going to set a record for the show for how quick we do these. So just like we do every single week, I will start. Ricky will follow. Braden will go next, and then Kyle will bring up the rear because he had connection problems, and we had to bring him back. So
you got the wrong games on the screen, by the way, if you're going to criticize my connection problem.
You are correct. You are very correct. Thank you very much for pointing that out. I should no longer speak anymore. And now I'm going to have to really look like an jerk because clearly I was talking trash to Kyle here, and I wasn't even prepared myself. So, folks, you're going to have to bear with me while I scramble here and try to bring up the games that... Oh, man, guys, I apologize.
Do you want me to ramble and kill time while you're doing that?
No, it's okay.
I'm really good at that.
I mean, it's, No, it's all good. I had a little bit of a hiccup here. I'm going to figure it out. I'm pretty good at rambling and stalling for time as well, if you give me a little bit of credit. And apparently maybe I don't actually have this on the screen. So here we go. This is what we're going to do on the fly. I'm going to get this ready for us all, because you know what? This is what we do. It's live programming here on FPC Radio Live, or not FPC Radio Live. See, Kyle, you screwed me up. Now I'm all over the place. I should just probably leave the show and let you guys host it, because I am clearly not prepared for this. And you guys are going to hear the nice little screenshot. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, you're going to hear it again, folks. This is how live programming works when things go.
Nice sound.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's good. It's nice. It's pleasant. But sometimes I forget that everything that I do on this computer gets played over on the screen. So, but just like that, though, without losing any time, without any dead air, because clearly I don't know how to shut my mouth. And good God, I hope this is the right one. We have the right schedule in front of us. There we go, folks. Look at that. Doing things on the fly, we still figured out. We only lost a little bit of time. I probably only got flagged once or twice in that whole situation. So anyways, let's start again. Let's start over. Let's forget any of that happened. I'm going to cut it out of the audio recording of this program. First up, we have Atlanta going to Dallas. Like I mentioned before, Atlanta has been playing pretty good football. Dallas coming off a pretty embarrassing loss last week. I'm going to take Dallas at home. I think this is going to be an even matchup, but at the end of the day, I think the Cowboys rebound after a pretty tough loss last week.
Yeah, Ian doesn't have to worry about Tony Corrente being a referee on this podcast. He might have got a flag for taunting. But anyways, I would pick the Falcons if Dallas hadn't lost last week, because think about Atlanta has revenge after blowing a huge lead in Dallas a year ago, and they're actually playing pretty well. But I can't see Dallas' offense struggling 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, I think coming off a loss like that, like you said, this is going to be a big game for Dak. So I'm excited to watch how he does. So Cowboys all the way.
Yeah, the Dak Prescott Hayden Hurst story is really great. So it's good to see those guys gets to play against each other again. But yeah, and Ian, don't worry, your clock management skills aren't as bad as Mike McCarthy. But in spite of that, the Cowboys will still win.
No, I would say I was borderline going down Mike McCarthy path, but I figured it out, and I think we're gonna end with plenty of timeouts left and plenty of time to adjust, considering we started a few minutes late. Anyways, next we have Tennessee hosting New Orleans. We spent some time obviously talking about the Titans, and despite my reservations about their long term success or failures, I do think they win today at home against New Orleans, who is going to be starting Trevor Siemian, and I just question how this team's going to adjust to that. So give me the Titans in this one.
One of the things we haven't seen the Saints do this year is kind of play back-to-back bad games. I know no Alvin Kamara today, but Mark Ingram knows this offense. You have Trevor Siemian, who didn't play great last week, didn't play awful. And this is kind of Tennessee's coming off a big win. We've seen these favorites lose in recent weeks in these kind of games. Sean Payton's a better coach than Mike Vrabel. And the Saints have a good defense. Give me New Orleans in the road upset today.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect with New Orleans, but I think going back to what we talked about earlier with Tannehill, I think he's obviously a big upgrade over Siemian. He just seems to be in the zone right now and making a lot of good decisions. Everything looks slow around him. So I think I'm just going to kind of lean on Tannehill making a good decision today in a tight one. So give me the Titans.
As much as the Marshawn Lattimore covering A.J. Brown, like how is that going to affect the offense? I remember that was a game a couple years ago, too. Titans, Saints, that was the exact fear, right? How is Tannehill going to get contained? And then, you know, I think like Jonnu Smith was breaking off big runs and Brown didn't really factor in this, and they totally crushed the Saints. If I'm going to call Tannehill a top 10 quarterback, I have to pick him, right? So I'm picking the Titans here.
Pretty sound logic, I would say. Indianapolis hosting Jacksonville. Again, you know, you got to kind of going back to one of the props that we talked about. You got to trust Wentz a little bit more in this situation, or in my opinion, in this situation, especially at home against Jacksonville. So give me the Colts with my third straight home victor.
Great win for Jacksonville last week. They're not going to make it 2 in a row, especially on the road. Indy's had extra days to prepare. And their offense is running in a good rhythm right now. Give me the Colts.
Yeah, Colts have really played good for a while, even with blowing a couple games. So, yeah, this one's pretty easy for me. Indianapolis.
Because of all the injuries, is Jonathan Taylor the best running back today? Like just like today as a microcosm, just because everyone else, like McCaffrey's still coming back, no Chubb. I think the answer might be yes. And then you get him against the Jags. We've seen running backs just torch them when they're elite. I think Jonathan Taylor wins this game, and by consequence, the Colts do too. But I think he'll just single-handedly beat them.
New England hosting the Cleveland Browns, and pretty, like you said, pretty big matchup in the, you know, AFC playoff pitcher. Both teams at 5-4. I believe Cleveland's at 5-4. Yeah, they're at 5-4. You know, it's a big game for New England. Obviously, looking for four straight wins. They're you know, turning the page a little bit, getting back into this. And I think at the end of the day, despite missing Damian Harris, I mean, Cleveland's missing Nick Chubb. I think New England wins at home and continues to evolve and grow into perhaps maybe the most consistent NFL or AFC team. So give me the Patriots in this one.
I think it's safe to say first to 20 points wins in this weird kind of game with defense being a primary theme. I think Dearness Johnson could have a decent game for Cleveland running the football, but what does Bill Belichick do? Takes away your best weapon. If he takes Dearness Johnson out of the game, it makes Baker Mayfield a 45 to 50 pass attempt kind of quarterback. He's going to make a mistake, preferably to Mr. INT, J.C. Jackson. And I think Mac Jones does just enough in this game. He hasn't been great the last 2 weeks, but I think in the red zone, you got Stevenson, you got Bolden, and you got Hunter Henry, who's going to be a really reliable target. I think New England wins on a last-second field goal by Fulk 2017.
Yeah, I think even with Cleveland's win last week, they really have not played a complete game most of the season, and I trust New England to do that a little more. I think they are a little more multiple right now, not just because of injuries, but I just think this seems like a game where Ricky mentioned J.C. Jackson. It feels like a multiple turnover kind of game from Baker coming up. So I do like New England here.
I have more faith in the Patriots offense this week than the Browns, but it's can the Browns defense win this game? Can this pass rush, can Myles Garrett kind of put this team on his back and win this game? Because he is the Browns' best player, I think. And I think, like, if you argue anyone else, it's probably Nick Chubb. So when you're running back as your next best player, that's maybe not the greatest thing if there's a team set up. So can the Browns win this? Part of me, I think they are, but I don't think they will. So I will say the Patriots and take another home team.
Next, we have the Jets hosting the Buffalo Bills. And perhaps this will sway people from taking the home team. But it will not sway me, folks. Yes, that's right. I am picking the New York Jets to upset what I don't think people are realizing, but a Buffalo team that is teetering. They just put in one hell of a defensive performance, holding a team, I don't care what team it is, to 9 points, and they lost. You know why? Because Josh Allen, at times this season, has looked more like the Josh Allen from the first two seasons. Wildly inaccurate. You know, he still does some good things. Don't get me wrong. He's still playing really good football, but it's alarming how much that's kind of creeping back into his game right now, at least from my point of view. And I think the Jets shock the world today and beat the Buffalo Bills at home.
I think the problem, and I like Ian's thinking on this, but the problem I think is the Jets offense isn't even the weakest point of their team.
Sadly.
Their defense is terrible. And you got Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. Bills have played inconsistent football each of the last 2 weeks, including the first 2.5, 3 quarters of the Dolphins game. But this is a get-right game for Buffalo. They know it. They've been dealing with the anger from the last week. The Jets are just a bad opponent for them right now. Give me the Bills.
Yeah, I guess I'm not as bold as Ian. I still think the Bills won't cover, but maybe Mike effing White will prove me wrong. And, yeah, I just think this is a game, like Ricky said, it's a tough week to be the Jets, kind of a punching bag here for the Bills. So I do think it's close, but I think the Bills will somehow find a way to pull it out.
They're the heaviest favorite this week, right? Unless that's changed.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen
the line,
it
the line is 13. So 13.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think, yeah, from what I'm seeing, the next closest, I think, is the Colts, actually, at 10.5. I'm surprised it's actually not the Bucks, to be honest. Oh, wait, we haven't talked about that game yet. But okay, every time we do the Bills, I just say, oh, Bills, and that's it. There's nothing you need to talk about. They're going to win this, right? But I guess it's tougher to say that now. But I will still just say Bills.
All right, I will. That wasn't so tough. I will gladly be the only one who's out on that ledge, and maybe perhaps that's a little wishful thinking coming from my Patriots fan standpoint. But hey, you know, hey, whatever. That's how it influences my picks. Anyways, next we have Pittsburgh at Detroit. When I picked this game on Friday, I picked Pittsburgh. Obviously, without Ben Roethlisberger, that could change things, but they're playing Detroit. So as much as I'd love to see Detroit win, I still think Pittsburgh wins this game because, quite frankly, Ben Roethlisberger really hasn't been the focal point of their team. So I don't know how much they're losing going from Ben Kyle Rudolph, who has NFL starting experience. So it's not like they're just throwing a kid off the, you know, scrap heap. So give me Pittsburgh in this one to make it 6 straight home winners.
Yeah, I'm done figuring out which game the Lions actually win. Every time I try to pick them, they lose and fall flat on their face. Can I say a bold pick that if David Blau was quarterback over Jared Goff, I may actually think about picking Detroit in this game? I think Mason Rudolph is a better quarterback in this game. Steelers will be fine. They're going to win and be in first place by tiebreaker in the North.
Yeah, I think this is a kind of game that I think a lot of people, just based off how Pittsburgh is, they're kind of a lucky team at times, but this is kind of one of those games where Mike Tomlin reminds people why he's one of the best coaches, because he can win with guys like Rudolph, guys like Duck Hodges. So defense and Najee Harris, I think they'll be okay. Give me the Steelers.
Jared Goff's been absolutely atrocious. Ricky said it right. Like Mason Rudolph, you might actually have more confidence in Mason Rudolph barely practicing this week because he's gotten just basically entirely second team reps, and you still have way more confidence probably in that than you do Goff. And it's been so bad, and yet the Lions' offense is probably better than their defense. It's just, it's in an awful unit that just can't stop anybody. So I think Mason Rudolph can tear this defense up. You know, even without Chase Claypool, I think he and Deontay Johnson, I don't think the Lions have an answer for that. Even with a poor offensive line, I don't think the Lions have an answer for Najee Harris. So Steelers win.
Next, we have, well, the Washington football team hosting a freshly off their bye, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My streak of picking home teams is over. Emphatically, we mentioned it already. Number one pass offense going up against the number one, or not number one, the opposite of number one pass defense in Washington. Even without Antonio Brown, without Rob Gronkowski, who the Bucs have been without for several weeks now, this Bucs offense is as efficient and as potent as it's been. Even in losses, they've put up good numbers, and it's going to continue to do so today as they take care of business. So give me the Bucs in this one.
This isn't a wild card repeat. Taylor Heineke's not going to have the same success as he had in the wild card game. Tampa Bay's coming off a bye. They're going to roll in this game.
Yeah, I'm not really even questioning who's going to win. I'm questioning really how many points are the Bucs going to score, because I wouldn't be surprised if they got into the 60s today. I mean, they put 38 up on a Bears defense that was kind of playing decent at the time when they went into Tampa. So I think the Bucs. I mean, how many points do they score is a bigger question for me in a win today.
I guess it depends on how long they keep Tom Brady in, because they have been doing that. They've been taking him out where, you know, they put up 4 touchdowns in the first half and they just kind of cruise in the second. So maybe that's the case today. Right.
Even if it is, like, they'll probably still definitely cover that 10-point spread. I'm still shocked that they're not the heaviest favorites. You know, but Buffalo's on the road too, and it's a division opponent. Like, Bucks are going to have this. And, you know, all, like, I feel like Taylor Heineke, he's getting a really bad bet. If he was playing with the team playing last year, with the way the defense played, I think they've completely let him down, because I think he's played much better as a quarterback than what they had last year. It's funny that they just couldn't connect though in 2 years for Washington, and it's just, yeah, they're not going to win here.
Yeah. All right, next of the first of our 4 o'clock games, we have Arizona hosting Carolina. You know, I like Arizona at home here. I think they're just obviously the better team. Although I think Carolina is going to put up a pretty decent fight, and it'll be fun to see PJ Walker, assuming he's the guy who starts, and perhaps even we see some packages for Cam Newton if he's active. But give me Arizona to pick up their 9th win of the season.
Oh, give me the Arizona Cardinals in this game, even without Kyler Murray, without DeAndre Hopkins. We saw it last week. Colt McCoy can win a couple games, and you still take Colt McCoy over PJ Walker. As much as I think PJ Walker actually do okay today, Arizona wins.
Yeah, I don't know how this team kind of keeps winning without some of their biggest names, but they keep doing it. So I just kind of have to roll with it and go with Arizona. Kind of helps with PJ Walker starting as well. So Cardinals.
I've got to pick an upset somewhere. And so I'm going to pick it here. I think the Panthers defense is much better than the 49ers defense, which is crazy. Like who would have said that like 3 months ago even, right? But that's like the case. Like this might be legit the two best defenses in the NFL facing off against each other. You know, all due respect to the Bucks and what they do as a front seven, Ian. I don't know that Colt McCoy and Connor are going to have as much success. So you know, with how bad Sam Darnold is, PJ Walker can't be any worse. I think they'll get the upset here. So I'm taking the Panthers.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Bucks don't deserve to be in any sort of conversation for best defense in the league right now. Not the way that they played. It's not the worst. We've clearly there's someone on this panel.
It might here. Be those two.
No, yeah. I mean, look. Honestly, I mean, Panthers, like the
Colts adding, have been doing really well too.
But you know, adding Stephon Gilmore certainly helps this Panthers team that again was already pretty good defensively, and we saw that early in the season. But all right, next we have the Chargers hosting the Minnesota Vikings. This was kind of a toss up. I don't know. I think Justin Herbert kind of rebounded after a pretty poor stretch of games there, and I think he's going to play well again against a pretty good Minnesota team. So give me the Chargers at home.
I think both these teams are going to be kind of like Oprah. You take the win, you take the win, you take the win, because both are going to just give it away in the fourth quarter. But believe it or not, the Chargers in their history of fourth quarter blown games, Justin Herbert was able to get that win in Philly last week. And the Vikings still a 14 against the Ravens and you lose. Five losses by a combined 18 points. You can't trust them to win a close game, and that's on coaching. I take Brandon Staley over Mike Zimmer. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, your last point exactly where I was going, Staley. I mean, it's not even close for me over Zimmer. And I think this is a week where it's not quite as close for the Vikings. I think they'll get beat pretty good here by the Chargers.
Keeler said exactly what I was going to say, so I'll go with something totally different. I'm saying the Chargers, but like this could be the game of the week. Like this is again a really great quarterback matchup. I mean, looking through, is this the best quarterback matchup we have all week? Really, I mean, like Rodgers and Wilson, I guess that one takes kind of the cake. Mahomes, Carr, can argue Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, but I think it might be this one, honestly. Like this could be a game that comes into a really big shootout, and like Keeler was saying, the Chargers have been finding a way to win these games, the Vikings haven't, so I think that continues.
All right, next we have the Denver Broncos hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, and certainly a matchup of not the two best quarterbacks or two great quarterbacks. Pretty good matchup nonetheless. I mean, both teams are, you know, I think kind of middle of the pack when it comes to, you know, where they stand. But, you know, as I've been going with a lot of these games, give me the Broncos at home in this one.
I don't know if it's because I'm consciously looking at home road picks, or it's because if Denver wins this game, they go 4-0 against the NFC East. Denver's only favored by a point. Give me Philadelphia on the road. I mean, as much as I thought Denver's coming off a great game last week, they don't strike me as a team that can put together two great weeks in a row. Give me the Eagles on the road.
I'm going to go Broncos. I don't really know if it'll be much of a dominant win or anything like that, but I think they just, to me, have a better defense, a little bit more weapons offensively. So I think just by that logic, I got to go with the Broncos finding a way here.
I could be a grumpy old man sometimes, and this may sound like it's not grumpy, but like who can dominate through the run game? I know it's old school football. That seems like that's what this game could be. And I actually think the Eagles are capable of doing that, both through their quarterback and through their running backs, especially the way Jordan Howard's been playing late. So I think the Eagles get the win on the road.
We've managed to go this whole show without bringing this game up yet, and to save Kyle some poor memories of the 2014 NFC Championship game, we did avoid that, although I'd give more credit to the fact that we had too much news to talk about than that. But and the fact that I've been trying this entire day to remember who I picked, because I have yet to write them down, and I still cannot remember who I picked on Friday in this game. So, as a bit of a disclaimer, if you're listening to this show and you also listen to FPC Radio Live on Friday and you hear me in just a few seconds pick the exact opposite team that I picked on Friday, well, just like I said, I've dropped the ball on this one. But
Things change.
Although, really, nothing has changed since Friday afternoon or Friday morning when we did the show. And it's my own damn fault.
We already thought we knew Rogers getting clear. We didn't know it officially till yesterday, though.
No, well, I assumed. But anyways, not that that played too much of a role in who I picked. Honestly, I am going to go with Green Bay in this one. You know, obviously getting Russell Wilson back is huge for Seattle. The weather in Green Bay right now, I know, is snowing. It's going to maybe lessen up by the time the game kicks off, but it's going to be cold. That's going to play a factor. And at the end of the day, I just don't think the Seahawks have a great defense, and I think the Packers offense can exploit that. So give me the Packers at home in the snow at frozen Lambeau Field.
See, you could bring up bad playoff memories for Kyle, but Russell Wilson doesn't exactly have great memories at Lambeau Field either. I don't remember the last time, if at all, Seattle's won in Green Bay. And you know what's easier for Aaron Rodgers than misleading the media? Misleading the Seattle defense. So this is going to be easy. He sat on his couch all week. Think about how many touchdowns and discount double checks he's going to throw this week. Packers big.
Yeah, Packers, I mean, even with Russ coming back, I mean, defensively, Green Bay's right now top 10, both yards and points allowed. And they were my Super Bowl pick, so I got to go with the team that I think is more complete here in Green Bay.
Oh, thanks, Braden. do you want the guy that hasn't practiced yet this week but is, you know, healthy? I mean, relatively healthy. I mean, he just had COVID, right? But it sounds like no symptoms, so it seems like he's fine from what we know, at least what's being reported. Or the guy who has practiced, but again, coming off a hand injury that's probably not fully healed. Just because Rodgers a vet, I think he can make it work without a week of practice. Like you were referencing, Keeler, the Seahawks, I think the Packers have beat them 10 straight home games. So while the Green Bay in Seattle games there have been maybe not as kind to the Packers, certainly in Green Bay they've kind of owned Seattle. So I think not only does Green Bay win, they cover the – I think – is it still a 6.5-point spread, which is what it opened at? Or sorry, it was a 4-point spread. My mistake. Yeah, I think they definitely cover that if it's still that. I don't know if it – has it gone up because of Rodgers' announcement for sure?
Down to 3, I think.
Well, there we go. Are you still taking that? Oh, yep. Kyle, you got to mute that mic there, you know. There we go, maybe.
Sorry. Yeah, no, yeah Packers cover, no matter what. They'll crush the Seahawks.
All right, next and last but not least, I certainly did not forget my pick on this one because I'm an absolute maniac. And But if you were to follow our friends over at tallysite.com, I would be included among the top 10 experts. I say that word very... emphatically experts when it comes to picking these Kansas City Chiefs games. And look, the proof is in the pudding. So whatever I say, you should take with a little bit more stock. I almost said salt for some god-awful reason, but that's not what we're here. We're not here to talk about salt and stock. We're here to talk about the Raiders and the Chiefs. The Raiders obviously lost last week, but at home, they upset. Well, actually, I don't even know if it's an upset right now. I think this is a pretty... even matchup across the board based on how both teams are playing. But I still, and maybe Braden can shine some light on this for me, I still didn't see too many encouraging things from the Chiefs offense last week in a win. I know Mahomes didn't throw an interception, but good God, did he try. And I don't know if that's fixed yet, and I think this Raiders defense can be pretty opportunistic if given the opportunities, and I think they'll get those. So give me the Raiders at home.
Even on a national television, it seems out of these two quarterbacks, as inconsistent as the Chiefs are and as bad as they are, they're only a game – they're tied for the final playoff spot in the AFC. The Raiders lost to a team in the Giants last week that had barely any catches from wide receivers. Last I checked, the Chiefs have a good wide receiver, a great wide receiver, Tyreek Hill. I think you can run the ball on Vegas. Maybe Kansas City gets a little more running involved. This is the kind of game the Raiders get up for, but it's also the kind of game that fourth quarter, you still take Mahomes over Carr. Kansas City wins on the road.
Yeah, and I think this is definitely a game the Raiders could win. But right now the defense in Kansas City is playing well these last 3 to 4 weeks. And I think really the offense worst part last week was not Mahomes. There was a lot of good things, better accuracy, better, comfort in the pocket. So, if his receivers can just catch the ball, not drop it, I think he'll have a better game. But I think right now, just the trends, I think Kansas City's starting to figure some stuff out, so I'll go with them. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders found a way.
It's funny, the Chiefs' defense not been good this year, but they might still be the better defense in this game because, Raiders, good pass rush, but if they don't get home, that secondary is still very beatable. And I think Mahomes could find ways to exploit it, so I will say the Chiefs win.
Yeah, I think to add to a little bit, I think it is very important that they try to run this ball, like traditional running the ball, because for some reason they seem to get away from it, and it ends up hurting them sometimes because they, become very one-dimensional. But if they can do that, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if either team won this game, because that's just kind of how these games have gone in the past. They've been very competitive no matter where these teams are. So, all right, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. Nice hour and 15 minutes chatting with you all. A couple mistakes, a couple insights into how we do things when things go awry here on live programming. But we're happy to sit here through it. Stay tuned. We got our man Kyle down there at the bottom. He's going to be hanging out here for a little bit longer, not on this show, but on a show coming up here in just a minute on Full Press NFL. It's our fantasy football focus-centric show because, we got a lot of fantasy football players out there. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back next Sunday and, of course, next Thursday. And, of course, you can listen to myself and my co-host, Mr. John Tappicetti, Monday through Friday on FPC Radio Live on at Full Press NFL or Full Press Radio on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you then.